Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is just a wonderful companion book. We've been going through verse by verse in Ephesians. And Joshua, this is somewhat, many Bible scholars this is like the Old Testament version of Ephesians, lived out, this wonderful book of Joshua. We begin at verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down to the sun, shall be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Most likely, this is a message that someone, at least one or two or maybe more, you need to hear this message this morning, and it's already resonating with you. You're listening to these words, and you go, you know, God's speaking to me about something going on in your life. I do believe if you look at verse 9 and you, in the middle of that verse, and by the way, this is God speaking directly. And so we look at this, and it's the Lord is saying to Joshua, do not be afraid. That's God's word to us this morning. Do not be afraid. I know at least one, somebody is here. You're going through something in your life where there is some element of fear. Did you know that phrase, fear not, or do not be afraid, that is the most often repeated command in the Bible? Now that to me just is really mind-blowing. Why is it that we need to hear so often this command to fear not? Well, fear is really, that's an inherited. I mean, you go all the way back to Adam and Eve, and you discover fear. That's where it began. Early on in the history of man, at the very beginning, that's an inherited emotional, psychological condition that is, it's universal to all mankind. And we all struggle with fear at some time in our life. Now, I will say this, sometimes when you're going through something and you're afraid, and you know you're afraid, and you feel like a spiritual weakling, you're like, man, I'm not, you know, fear and faith, we recognize they don't mix. And you go, what's wrong with me? Why am I afraid? Well, if you feel that way, I will tell you, you're just in good company. Because as you go through the scriptures, you find and you discover that fear is just, I mean, great men and women of the Bible struggled with fear. Some of it was absolutely chronic fear. I mean, Abraham lied about his beautiful wife, Sarah. David was running from Absalom. He ran to the Philistines in fear, and he began to act like a lunatic. And you think about David. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet he struggled with fear. Jonah was controlled by fear. Jonah, when God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah, in fear, went the other direction. God took him to Nineveh anyway. But he struggled with fear. And then, of course, there's Peter, who denied Jesus, you know, the great apostle, the fearless fisherman. You know, though all the others will leave you, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I will never deny you. What did he do? He ran away in fear. All of us here this morning, just like these great men and women of the Bible, we've experienced and we've gone through something in our life where you know, we were afraid. And here's one of the problems that we deal with. God gives us challenges in life. Some of those challenges are in the ministry itself. And so it was with Joshua. Joshua essentially was in the ministry on working on behalf of the Lord, and the Lord gave him such a challenge. Has God ever given you something and you knew it was from the Lord, but you were so afraid? Going into the ministry, I was so afraid. I was like asking the Lord, Lord, please, if there be any other way. But nevertheless, Lord, and God spoke to me very clearly through the scriptures. I just went and I went on my knees before the Lord and I opened up the Bible and the Lord spoke to me very clearly in the scriptures that this is what I want you to do. And that's what's so important when you are in a situation when you are afraid, is to make sure and that you know that this is God that is calling you to do something. Joshua, he was faced with this challenge. And I do believe that many of the works that God has for us, they can't be done without God. They have to have God. God is going to lead us not just into ministry, but into the circumstances of our life that are going to absolutely require us to depend completely upon Him. And I think one of the problems that God deals with in our lives is this problem of fear, but He understands it. He said, I know your weaknesses. And He understands this aspect of fear, and He's so patient and long-suffering, just as He was with Joshua. Specifically, God had chosen Joshua to be the man that would lead the children of Israel into the promised land following the death of Moses. Now, Joshua had grown up in Egypt, and he was just a young man when God sent Moses back to Egypt to free his people 400 years after captivity. Now, he had witnessed the many struggles that Moses had endured as a great leader. He knew, he understood that dynamic between the people, the children of God, and the leaders that God had put into place. And so aside from the supernatural empowerment to do the job, leading the children of Israel, that would be like an impossible job for one man. I want you to think about it. Do you think of Joshua as kind of a young man? I always did. Do you know how old he was when God called him? He's between 80 and 90 years old. 2.5 million people. Is there anybody here that's 90? Anybody that's 80? We got some close. John, you're getting close, right? Okay, how would you like to take the number of the city of Houston, 2.5 million people, and do anything with them? No, thank you. That's right. I mean, think about that for a moment. Do you know how many 2.5 million people, if you were to line them up shoulder to shoulder, do you know that that's over 1,500 people lined up? If you put them at a table, it'd have to be a table that's over 1,500 miles long. Now imagine, if you want to put it in another, you know, context, imagine that, you know, you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you're at this end of the table, and the peanut butter and jelly's at the other end of the table, and so you tell the person next to you, pass the peanut butter. And the person next to them, pass the peanut butter. Do you know that it's going to take 58 days before the message gets to the other end to get the peanut butter, and then it's going to take another 28 days? That's night and day to get back. And you get the peanut butter, and you say, the jelly. Man, I got to have the jelly. I can't have it. So you pass the jelly. And I mean, that's what you're talking about when you, that number of people, 2.5 million people. And so here's this old man, essentially, Joshua. And God said, now I want you to do with these people what Moses failed at. And so you have to understand, and it's not just that. How many of you in your older age fear some things that at your younger age didn't faze you? How many of you are popping wheelies on a motorbike at 80 years old when, oh, that was so much fun when you were young? There's just something about as we age that we become less risk adverse. And so you have to kind of get into this man's sandals and go, well, here's what was going on with Joshua. He was dealing with all these people. Not only that, I want you to think just about where they were going to go. I mean, you know, you look at, you know, the feat before them, what they had to do. And so I want to take away this morning just a few principles. It helps us to deal with fear. Number one, we see it from the scripture, God's power. Look with me at verses 1 and 2. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. The key phrase, I will give. God is saying, essentially, it is by my power that this is going to happen. I am going to give. Joshua did believe in the power of God. 40 years earlier, we have this similar scene. The people, they're encamped near the land of Canaan. They're ready to cross over. They're ready to take the land. Now, God had promised this land to the children of Israel. Now it is time to possess the land. God commands Moses to send out these spies into Canaan. And for 40 days, these 10 spies, they're checking it out. They get back, they have this great report, and they say, you know, we have some good news and we have some bad news. There's, you know, the good news, man, the fruit, you should see the grapes. The grapes are so heavy, I mean, to carry them, I mean, it takes like two people. Oh, the land, it's flowing with milk and honey. It's a beautiful place. That's the good news. Well, what's the bad news? Well, here's the bad news. There's some really, really strong people there. There's some fortified cities. And not only that, you know who we saw over there? We saw the descendants of Anak. Now that may not mean much to you, that name, but to the children of Israel, that is a fearful prospect. Anak, the name Anak, I mean, that sends chills down the spine of these people. It means long neck, it means giant. And Anak, that was the father of the race of giants called the Anakans, and they were the terror of the land and the people. They're struck with terror as they refuse to go over into the land. They listen to the good news, but the bad news tripped them up. They complained against Moses and Aaron. They were so angry that they rose up. They were ready to stone Moses and Aaron. We read that in Numbers chapter 13. But now there were two men. They refused to be dismayed by the bad news. And they said, you know, we can go in, we can do it. We can take these guys. If God delights in us, then we can take the land. Who were those two men? Caleb was one. Joshua, this man, he was the other. Caleb and Joshua, now here it is 40 years later. They're at the banks of the Jordan. They're ready to cross over into the land that God had promised. Same land, same cities, same people, same Anakans. And Joshua was under no illusion. Only now he was much older, much more risk adverse, much more experienced, understanding the issues before him. And God knew he was afraid. earlier in his life, let's go, let's take him on. And now 80 years old, 90 years old, and God is saying, listen, Joshua, I know you're afraid. I understand you're afraid. I believe that fear sometimes is probably, I think it sometimes it's just a matter of failure. We're afraid to fail. How many of you have refused to do something because you thought if you start it, you can't finish it? You thought, if I start this, I'm going to fail because this is something that is too great. I just can't do it. And I think that's where Joshua, he might have had some of that fear that, you know, how am I going to do this? And the Lord just kept saying, don't be afraid, Joshua. The key to overcoming fear is to believe that the plan of God is carried out under the power of God. That's the number one. That's the power of God. The power of God. If God has a plan, and make no mistake about it, if you're in the will of God, you're in some way, you're in the plan of God. Because God has a plan for each one of us. There is no exemption to those of us who are in Christ. If you are in Christ and you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, God has some plan in Christ. And it's only under the power of God that we can go through that plan and not fail. Now, there is situations in life where we may be doomed to failure. You know what that is? That's when you're out of the plan of God. That is absolutely the worst place for a Christian to be, is outside of the will and the plan of God. But now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Listen, when God tells you to go, God will empower you to go, and you can arise, and you can go, and you can go confidently. Number two, God's promises. Verse 3. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. So what God is doing now is he's assuring Joshua that God is just, he's going to act according to his promises. Now, this wasn't only a promise to Joshua. God had promised Abraham hundreds of years ago, way back Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So that promise, Abraham, it went to Isaac, it went to Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. And so now God, again, reminding Joshua of this same promise, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. It is yours. Just as with Moses. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God. Note that word glory. God isn't just doing this for you. God's promises are for his glory. God wants you to see. God wants and desires for those around you to see. God wants all of us to see his glory. And one of the ways that we see the glory of God is by seeing God fulfill his promises. It says he can't fail. If God has made a promise and you're in the plan and you're in the will and you're walking in God's plan for you, you cannot fail according to the promises of God. For all the promises of God in him, there are yes, and in him, amen. There was a hymn that I used to despise when I was a little boy, because it seemed like almost every Sunday, the song leader in my little Baptist church would do this song at least three or four times. And maybe you get tired of some of the songs I do week after week. I don't know. But this was the one I didn't like. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King, you know, and through the glory of the ages, you know, let his praises ring. Standing, you know, that wonderful song, and I can remember and sing the, you know, the song leader, and it's like, not this song again. I love that song now because I understand it, because I stand on the promises of God. When God promises, when God gives you His word, God can never fail, and it's just to the glory of God. The Word of God is alive with promises. There are so many wonderful promises. And when I'm going through something, I love to find just a promise. Go into His Word and search it out. What is it that God would speak to you when you're going through something today? He's got promises for you. But we must appropriate those promises in our life. We have to go to His Word and read, and we have to apply that promise personally and say, God, You meant that promise for me just as much as You've meant it for those men and women of old. Number three, God's presence. For some people, their greatest fear is to be left alone. For some people, the great fear is to go through something hard and difficult in life and feel that you're alone. If you are a child of God, you're never alone. You are never alone when He takes you into those places like He took Joshua. He wants to assure you today and this morning that He is with you, that His presence is there. Look at verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was what? With. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. As God was with Moses, so He will be with you. He is with each of us. He's with us. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Have you ever felt the people around you that you're closest to may have forsaken you? And you felt alone? You felt they walked away? Sometimes it's your own family. You feel like they've left you. They have forsaken you. Sometimes it's because for the mere fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, they don't want to hear that. And now that you follow Jesus, they may even despise you. And you feel alone. But you're never alone, because that same promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, it goes for all who are in Christ Jesus. God is now reminding Joshua that just as He was with Moses, so He's going to be with Joshua, so He will be with us. The problem is, and I do believe this is why there are so many fearful Christians, it's though they know about God, they've never trusted God in the way that God wants us to trust Him. Do you know how the Lord wants you to trust Him? How many of you grew up with a most wonderful father? Some of you? You just say, man, my dad was the best. Great dad. And you know, what is God like? If you take the best of all fathers, if you take the greatest father, let's take James Dobson himself. How many of you wish with James Dobson? How many of you wish there was a prescription that you could take? James Dobson in a bottle. You know, you pop a pill and suddenly you're this great, you know, father, amazing, you know. But imagine the greatest of all fathers, the earthly fathers. God is infinitely higher. He is infinitely greater. His love is beyond measure as a father. And the problem is that believers and Christians, they don't recognize God in this role of intimate father who loves them as the most dear earthly father and even more. Paul writing to the Romans, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who what? He loved us, for I am persuaded, Paul was certain, and he was sure, he said, that neither life, nor death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, not height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The presence of God. And finally, the purpose of God. Verse 6, it begins with a command. Be strong and of good courage. Again, the command that's repeated in verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's purpose in this passage was more than just taking the land. God was working on Joshua personally. And that's how God is. It's not like God has, well, my real plan is I want to give them the land, but you know, there's a minor plan over here with Joshua. Absolutely not. As Father who loves, Father who adores, Father who cares, it's not just about the great events. It's about you personally. God was looking at the life of Joshua, and in a very personal sense, he's saying, Joshua, I'm going to work on you. Man, I want you to learn to trust me. I want you to learn to go through life. I want you to learn to go through these circumstances fearless. I'm with you. God's purpose. You know what I really love about this? I thought about it when I discovered that Joshua was 80, 90 years old. Do you know what that means to me? I'm never too old for God to work on me. Do you know that it is our tendency kind of to think, well, I'm older now and I'm wiser, and we think there's less reliance? Absolutely not. God never finishes working on you. Until you take the last breath here on earth, God is going to work on you. For you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And he's going to keep working on you until the day of Christ, until you either he comes here or you go there. He's working on you. And he never stops. God's purpose, often simply for you and I, just simply to trust him. Over the years, so many times I've brought up my very close and dear friend Floyd, a mentor. God brought me into his life and put us together when I was in my early 20s at a Billy Graham crusade. And Floyd just kind of took me under his wing. And he was part of Calvary Chapel and just a very mature believer. He was on the board at Costa Mesa. And servant of the Lord. But the big thing with Floyd is he said, when I discovered God as Father and the love of God as Father, that really changed me. It transformed me, he said, because I didn't have that earthly loving Father. And for the first time, I discovered this God who is Father and he loves me. And Floyd, because of that, he just became so dependent upon God. You know, one of the things that Floyd would say, there's a couple things. He would say, yeah, God's going to take care of it. I'd bring him a problem and I would call him on the phone and I'd say, man, this is what I'm going through. God's going to take care of it. But the other thing that he would say, he loved to say this. And this is something that he said during his last days. He was suffering. He was in pain, tremendous pain. And, you know, I was doing everything I could. I went and saw him, and I was like, come on, Floyd. You know, you have a lot of time left. Here, I've got a vitamin B12. I literally gave him my vitamin B12 and a needle. His wife was a nurse. And I said, take this vitamin B12 shot. It'll make you feel so much better. He never did. He said, no. He said, I'll see you in eternity. And he just had this smile on his face. And you know what he said? He said, the best is yet to come. Wow. There is an easy test for you and I to know if we're really trusting God, if we're not walking in fear and we're filled with faith. And here it is. There's a few verses that I'll just give to you, passed down here. Number one, we're going to have peace in our lives. There is going to be a sense of peace when you are really, truly trusting. And when you don't have that peace, you can know that there's something missing. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. Because he trusts in you. When you trust God, the result is peace. Fear. Am I afraid? Psalm 56:11, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What is it that man can do when God is over you and protecting you and watching you? The worst that man can do is whatever God might allow. And then there's stability. Psalm 125, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord, they are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. Listen, when you're really trusting the Lord, you're stable. You're grounded. You're firm on the foundation of God. And Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. God's power, God's promises, God's presence, God's purposes, and you take all that together, and you have these verses living out in your life. You're going to discover the peace of God. You discover that you have an absence of fear of that which used to control you is now gone. And you're stable in your circumstances. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to us this morning through this amazing servant, Joshua. Though he was 80 or 90 years old, he was ready to lead this millions of people into a land that was so fortified. It took tremendous trust, and yet you kept saying, fear not. And Lord, may anyone here who is going through something that may bring fear to the natural man, may the spiritual man now rise up, and you say, go, and we go. Encourage. In strength and in the power of God and his presence with us according to his promises and his purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.